Welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt. That was House of the Dragon, Season 3, Episode 1, Battle of the Gullet. Wow. Came out swinging. I mean, big time. This was supposed to be the end of last season, and kind of interesting, man. Do you put this at the beginning of the season? I mean, it makes you wonder the behind the scenes stuff. Was it really just budget, or was it a decision to say maybe this epic battle should be at the beginning of a season? I don't know. It was great. It was an epic battle. Very bold here, and this is a live show, and then Jimmy and I will do a review tomorrow. We plan on doing, I think, mostly just doing the Sunday night shows, but this week we're gonna do it today and tomorrow. So I will be reading some comments here for the people just listening on the podcast version. Lost Beyond the Wall says, very bold episode. Sheep Stealer stuff is pretty clunky, but a great a great dunk on taking charge of his life performance from Jace and Valerian. Action was well. Good to be back. I agree. Man, I find myself like, it was great. It was great television. The battle itself was epic. One of the best battles we've seen in all of Westeros TV. Huge sea battle. I love the part where they went through the little pass. Of course, Valerian goes through the little pass to lure them in. That was great, right? I mean, it was very back and forth. And, you know, like, it's one of those things where it's just so interesting, this show, because unlike Game of Thrones, where up until they ran out of stuff, they had to cut stuff down. And that's always, you know, that's how most book adaptations are, is you're like, okay, where are they going to cut? What are they going to, you know, What are they gonna cut down? Where here, it's like the opposite, because it's an outline. Where are we gonna expand? And we saw the same thing in Night of the Seven Kingdoms, and which I loved, you know, most of it, almost all of it, really. And I was just like kind of surprised a little bit. Like the Sheep Stealer stuff, obviously that's different because, you know, now it's like 1,000,000% confirmed we're not getting Nettles, which, you know, they sort of Rhaena, they kind of blend her in to Nettles for, you know, love it or hate it. I know some people are the super, super tick that she's not in it. But man, I mean, she's only mentioned a couple times. I don't know. I'm not super perturbed by the fact that she is not a character, but having her there and having it kind of cause some confusion. And then, like, I think it's just interesting to see where they're pushing the story to create more drama. I mean, that's kind of that we saw it again tonight. And that's kind of been the tale of the show, right? Like Alicent not understanding, like thinking Viserys was talking about Aegon, her son, and just how much, you know, little stuff like that causes all these huge, massive things. And I think really by having that, the Sheep Stealer stuff in this battle and having, you know, not being able to control him. And I mean, what does that ultimately do in the battle, and how could it have turned out differently? I'll get to that in a minute, but you know, it's just, it's interesting because then it does play more into the idea of like dragons, and are they good? Are they bad? So that was, man, that was interesting. Just an interesting way to do it. I mean, again, I liked it, but it's one of those things where this show surprises me, and it causes me to kind of sit back and think like, wow, it's just not what they're going in routes that I'm once you see it, you can piece it together, but it's still just kind of shocking, right? To see this, the decisions they're making, because normally adaptations, you have to cut. Okay. Like Wheel of Time. It was like, what are we going to cut? Okay. We got to cut this here. We got to cut this here. Oh, okay. 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 You know, that's, but we're here. It's, where do we expand? What points can we drive home? What points can we expand to help tell the narrative? And so that was like immediately the thing that I kind of took away from it. A bunch of other stuff happened in this episode. Again, cinematography was great. New intro. I mean, it's still the same theme. The internet made it seem like it was going to be like something totally different. It's just a, you know, it's a newer, it's a refreshed theme. But yeah, man, what a great episode. It's getting 10s out of 10s, and I can see why this season is already rated so high. So that's going to be an Emmy. That's an Emmy episode. I can tell you right now, that is an Emmy episode. It's going to get nominations. Some more comments here. Lost Beyond the Wall also says, what are your thoughts on Jace locking up Rhaenyra? Yeah. And see, that's something else too, because like even Jace's death, which was, man, almost like Red Wedding-esque. I didn't love it because I didn't want to see him die, but you know, the books make it seem like, oh, he just gets shot down, right? Like he gets, you know, almost like smog, right? Boom. He just gets hit while he's flying, not like he's in the water and then just like picked off. That was brutal. That was tough to watch. It was way like more dramatic than I thought. And I think that was a great decision. I think that was a great way to do his death. And it's going to play a part here because now Rhaenyra is like, you know, this is all obviously spoilers. So like we know Rhaenyra she doesn't necessarily go mad, not like Aerys mad, but I mean, they're all going to start descending mentally. And now she's will have lost two sons, and both of which is often because people don't let her like ride into battle. Right. She's hesitant. She stays back. That's what Daemon thinks. And Daemon's always the one saying, yo, you're the dragon. You need to go do this. You need to go do that. I think this is going to be a huge catalyst for her. I think they're going to expand that out. That's an area I think. And I think this decision was big. Aemon kissing Alicent. Yeah, I need to see more of that. I need to see like where they're going to go with that. I mean, it was just another weird Game of Thrones creep. Like, yeah, I don't know. Just to make him seem more weird, I guess. I don't know. I need to see more of where that's going to go. Pros, fits with their head-to-head arc very well. Cons, the Kingsguard is obviously opening the door. Yeah. I mean, and what's that going to say for him? I mean, right? Like, you disobeyed my order and now my son is dead. You can't control your Kingsguard. I mean, it's going to have, I mean, it allows them to expand by doing like in the book, it's just Jace dies in the battle. So by doing it this way, it allows you to expand a lot of stuff out. Now we can have Nettles and that arc, right? And we're not Nettles, sorry, because she's not in it, Rhaena. And that arc can be expanded out. Some more comments here. Great sea battle action, Ryan. Yeah, it was freaking amazing. That was a phenomenal battle. I was so excited for Sheepstealer to join. Then I regretted that. Watching Jace was devastating. Yeah, Jace, it was brutal. I mean, it's up there for like, you know, I mean, it's tough. It's like, I mean, it was like Red Wedding-esque. It was way sadder to watch than I thought it was going to be. Those arrows with the weights are so cruel. Oh, God. Had huge expectations for the gullet battle. Overall, did live up in terms of visual. Or did it? Oh, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was a huge battle. I thought it was big time. It's going to be an Emmy nominated. I'll tell you that right now. It's going to end. I mean, the real question is, I mean, what do you guys think? Should they have finished season two with that? Should that have been the season two finale? Or is it better to open with it? Because that was the whole big knock on season two, is that we thought it was going to end with this battle. So do you end with like all of that stuff happening to Rhaenyra again? Maybe that's like, if you look at everything else in this episode, maybe that's part of the reason also. We knew budget was part of it. And we have to see next week's episode to see really like, would that have been a better place? I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. The Darren casting feels like they don't fit with the original three. King Aegon's not reading the room. Yeah. The battle is super important to set up Alan. Yeah, Alan Apollo, further other stories. Alice River seems to want another companion to get to Harrenhal safely. Yeah, I mean, the battle was such a big part of it. You kind of forget about everything else that happened in this episode. I loved the Stark showing up. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was great. There wasn't a lot of Daemon really in this episode just because it was so Corlys focused. And again, it goes back. I mean, man, that's the other part of this episode too, is it's so intriguing because like we just spent a season watching Corlys like walk around like the same five steps at a ship dock when he could have been doing this. And it's like that stuff I hate to some degree. It's where I sort of hate actually knowing the behind the scenes stuff, because it kind of ruins like immersion for me and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, phenomenal. Let's see what everyone's saying. I saw IGN just gave it a 10 out of 10. So far, only a couple of votes on our YouTube. 78% loved it, liked it. Let's see what everyone else is saying on Twitter and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, how would you guys rank it? Yeah, they need to use Corlys and Alan, a goat tier fire and blood characters. Yeah, and I think they will have a much, much bigger part of this season. But it's so interesting because clearly like this battle was supposed to take place last season. Was supposed to take place. They built up the Triarchy a little bit more. And so I do feel like that kind of paid off because it made them feel a little more fearsome in this episode. I mean, that honestly, I think that was my favorite part where Corlys is like navigating through and then, oh, they also make it through. And then they start cutting down all the people with armor on and kicking them. I mean, that was a pretty brutal, battle. It was way, like, I knew there was like obviously all the stuff with the dragons just torching stuff. Like, we knew that part was going to be good. But I guess I wasn't expecting all of the other scenes of the naval battle to be as epic. And I thought it was super epic. Like, ships ramming ships. And I mean, it was pretty sick. It was pretty sick. And seeing the dragons. And then early on, Jace gets caught with the thing. And I was like, oh, this is it. They're going to. But I was like, they can't kill him at the beginning. At the beginning of the episode, yeah, Alan calling him father, yeah, and then stuff with Laris and Aegon. I mean, immediately Aegon could have bent the knee. Nope, didn't do it. Now they, all right, well, here you go. And then Laris Strong, there's like all these people with him. He's like, yeah, they're not worth it. Do they just kill them all? Which, I mean, is the decision he has to make. But man, that was wild. What an episode. Let me see what everyone else is saying here on the internet. Yeah, everyone's just shocked. I freaking love that they gave Corlys his moment. Corlys being the only one that can navigate the Dragon Pass. Corlys at the helm. He's the greatest captain. Yeah. Wait, yeah, what is Laris doing? 10 out of 10, amazing first episode. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what's so interesting is this was supposed to end it, which this definitely would have been a better end to season two than, hey, just we're all getting ready to go on a big battle. But if you end here, then this had ended season two, then Rhaenyra, then both seasons end losing a kid. So I felt like you could see the showrunners feeling like they needed to end, not necessarily with Rhaenyra having a win. I mean, we also know budget was a part. So we have to see next week's episode, because that in theory was where they were going to end it. I agree with you on this episode being part of last season, but if this season is great, it would be such a good case study of like show. Yeah. Of a season of a show as war strategy. Agreed. To be honest, this would be a great episode 9 with fallout in 10. I still hate the HBO decision. Yeah. But at the same time, everyone's saying that the season is amazing. And so now you put it in in here. And so you're just like, okay, it's this whole season. Said last season ended with minimum progress. Am I the only one? Yeah, I mean, again, huge. Yeah, huge, huge episode. The battle, I thought the battle was freaking fantastic. I will say, I thought it was freaking great. Let me see. IGN, I just read their review. They gave it a 10 out of 10. Was it better than the Rainies episode? That's a question. That death was heartbreaking. Rook's Rest. Yeah, that battle was pretty epic. And that's like one of the highest rated. Yes. The whole battle was probably about. Here we saw three dragons torching. And again, all the stuff with Reyna and having her instead of Nettles as a character. And then also like that's going to be a big part, because like her. Again, this is, I think, hopefully, you know, this is a book podcast, so this is all spoilers. So if you don't want spoilers, you can tune away a little bit. No, there's no way the Battle of the God's Eye is next episode. Zero chance. 0% chance the Battle of the God's Eye is the next episode. But we're trying to do, you know, Jimmy and I were mapping it out. It could be the finale of this season. Yeah, there's no way that the Battle of the God's Eye is next episode. Unless they like add one in, but the Battle of the God's Eye, you either end this season with that, or that's got to be like somewhere next season, which I think is. If you're anything like me, you've probably got a growing list of books you want to get through, but never seem to find the time. That's why I've been using 11 Reader. Not only does it have over 200,000 premium audiobooks, but it lets you turn just about anything into a natural sounding audiobook. PDFs, articles, EPUBs, even documents you already have. One of my favorite features is being able to choose the narrator for anything I upload. It's amazing how much a different voice can completely change the immersion of a story. Sometimes the right narrator is the difference between a book you're just listening to and one you're completely pulled into. A gritty fantasy novel, a mystery, or even a history book can all feel completely different depending on who's telling the story. An 11 Reader gives you the freedom to find the voice that fits the book. It's become one of my favorite ways to catch up on reading while I'm driving, working out, or just taking the dog for a walk. Instead of watching another 20 minutes of social media, I actually make progress on my reading list. You can try 11 Reader for free, and if you decide to upgrade, use promo code PODCAST to get your first 2 months for just $1. Also already greenlit for 8 episodes. But timeline, that's sort of towards the end. But, you know, Nettles and Damon, like, get together. But they do kind of like, I mean, not like that, but like father and son. Or father and daughter, I should say. And like with Jace dying, remember, like Jace is not Damon's kid. So he's a little more like that may be something that may be something they play into a little bit, where like, what if is she gonna feel like, man, maybe if I had been able to control my dragon more, he would still be alive, rather than Bela, obviously, who's, you know, going to marry him. So, but I think that they're going to play more into her character. Yes, next season is the end of the show. Yes. I think this episode benefited more from the adaptation. Season 2, episode 4, basically just the book and nothing extra in the way of the character other than Aegon going down context. Yeah, and Aemon going after him too. And that's what they kind of did lean into a little bit more. Yeah, Bela's going to be pissed at her. And how does that play out? Like, that's going to be a pretty interesting thing, because clearly she's going to know it and she may blame her for that. And that is actually where they're expanding. Like, where this show is actually expanding is in all of the, like, the actual the dynamics between the houses. I think they want to just show that there is so much unrest, actually, not just between the greens and the blacks, which the books make it feel like. None of the stuff in the books make it seem actually like the greens have that much distrust in him. Like all that, like Aegon, like Aemon trying to kill Aegon and all that stuff. I mean, that's like very expanded. Now, Daemon and Rhaenyra, that's very prevalent in the books, but it seems like they're going to be expanding that even between Baela and Rhaena, who is sort of essentially Nettles in this scenario. I'm trying to think of what Rhaena herself actually does. I can't remember. But I mean, obviously Nettles flies off. We don't know what happens to her. Some people think that maybe she goes with Daemon. We'll have to see. But yeah, I mean, now you're going to have even more of that with it. You're going to have even more of that of that inter-house dynamic. Yeah. I mean, that's how you want to that's what you want to do. You want to raise more questions. That is the sign of a good show. That is like when you're left with more questions than answers, then, you know, intriguing questions like, oh, how they can do this, how they can do that. That's the sign of a good piece of media. And that's a sign. So let me see what everyone's saying here. But I liked it. I'm intrigued. I'm definitely like, I'm interested, which I think is more of the man is the thing. Yeah. Thousands died, yet none of those losses were felt so deeply as that of Jacaerys Velaryon, Prince of Dragonstone and heir to the Iron Throne. Yeah, that was brutal. That is one of the most heartbreaking deaths in all of A Song of Ice and Fire. I mean, see here, too much packed into one episode. Season 8 of Thrones started out like that, then we got a bunch of crappy filler ups. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case here. It sounds like this whole episode's going to be a mega, mega war. I mean, and season 8, I'd have to go back and look like what Rotten Tomatoes and everybody gave it, which to be fair, I have been highly critical of Rotten Tomatoes. Although what they said episode 3 is going to be like an introspective Rhaenyra episode. Like they're doing something ambitious. I don't know. But I mean, I obviously can't show it. I mean, if you're watching, you can kind of see my screen here a little bit, but if I show it on screen, it'll get flagged immediately. But man, the cinematography of the Battle of the Dragons just flying and torching stuff. I mean, it was sick. I mean, that was peak. That's what we've all been waiting for. And I will say, you know, one of the things that I, you know, had been talking about was that going into this season, I was so, I don't know. It was so weird, the dynamic of going from Night of the Seven Kingdoms to this, where it was such a tone, the way season 2 ended, which I still liked, but the way season 2 ended kind of felt me like, you know, it wasn't what we'd all hoped. It wasn't like this amazing end to season 2. Then we got a Night of the Seven Kingdoms, which we all loved, but it was such a different tone. It is in the books, so it's my favorite books. And so coming off of Night of the Seven Kingdoms, trying to go back into House of the Dragon, every time I saw the trailer and everything, I was just like, man, I don't know. I mean, like, not that it was bad or anything, but it was just hard to switch vibes from that. And so I'm wondering if anybody else is feeling that as well. Because now we're totally back, and this episode is a very good, like, I guess, palate cleanser, right? Like, oh, we're back. I mean, this is Game of Thrones, right? We've got freaking sons kissing moms and you know, people getting beheaded and dragons, and I mean, we're full on back. Yeah, most of what Twitter, everyone's just sharing his death. Brutal. He's seen the dragons die too. Part of that could be just too long between seasons. Yeah, I agree, and that's part of it too. I think for me specifically, though, it was also that, like, you know, we've never had two different shows air within essentially like 6 months of each other. And they're just such tonal differences. Like, they're such, like, House of the Night of the Seven Kingdoms is so much more like PG-13, I guess. You know, it's there's much more comedy. It's just a light, more lighthearted story. And then to go from that back to this, I've had a hard time with the trailers being like, not like I didn't think it was going to be good, but getting like excited for it. Cause, you know, like 2 weeks ago, if you had told me, hey, you can watch Night of the Seven Kingdoms season 2 right now, or season 3 of House of the Dragon, I would have picked Night of the Seven Kingdoms. But now after I've seen this, I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I got to see more of this. So I think they pulled it off, at least for me. I was not optimistic because how they sidelined Corliss, but this was a good comeback. This was better than the Greyjoy naval scenes of the OG show. Agreed. 100% agreed. And Corliss needed a huge episode because, yeah, his whole season 2 arc is not great. I mean, he's just standing there, literally, like for most of the season. Do you think both Hugh and Ulf will betray Rhaenyra? Hugh seems more upstanding so far. I mean, are we following the books? Or are they gonna change it? I guess hopefully not spoil it, but I mean, if we follow the books, then, well, I think we'll see. I hate seeing the dragons die too. Yeah, that's hard. Here we go. Good question. Which death is more devastating, Prince Lucerys or Prince Jacerys? I think Jace's death, and I know obviously we just saw it, so there's some recency bias, but I think Jace's death is more devastating than Luke's. Luke's is a little tougher to watch because, I mean, he's essentially being bullied into it, right? Like that. I mean, Jace's death is in war, and he makes the decision. Like, he's trying to do the honorable thing, the right thing, and protecting his mother so that he can go into this battle, so she can stay home. Luke's death is obviously awful as well and devastating, but I mean, that's like a war crime, right? Because clearly, like, there is that's just Aemon overreacting and kicking the entire thing off. That shouldn't have happened. And Aemon, even to some degree, felt like he shouldn't do it. And remember, actually, he was, trying to pull back a little. I mean, he was still trying to kill him, but I don't think he was, or tease, you know, enough. Clearly he seemed shocked when Vhagar like bit down, like, Luke was an innocent, but Jace is more devastating, I feel like, because, I mean, he also helps, you know, clean out this battle. So it's still a heroic sacrifice. But Rhaeny's might be the most devastating death, just because she knows it's coming, but she just turns back anyway. Just like, all right, here we go. I mean, that, like, but they're brutal. It just, next season is going to be you got to give Ryan Cundell credit. The way that they're going to do it next season is going to be tough. Luke was so innocent. Jace went there on purpose, but Jace is more devastating to watch because I care more at this point. He has family in Tumbleton. I think they may be doing something different with him. I'd be interested to see if they end up doing something different than him. I don't believe that they will. So, I mean, technically, I think they've already said that next season is going to be 8 episodes. So we're over halfway. And if you go actually look at the timeline, like, I mean, I think next episode is also, I think it's another 72-minute episode. I mean, I think next episode's going to be big. You know, I think Rhaenyra is going to get some serious comeback, you know, following this next episode. And remember, we have to see what's going on with Aegon. But I mean, if you just look at the timeline about where we're at, and, you know, again, this is spoilers. It's always so tough when you type in Dance of the Dragons, because then it brings up the books. Let's see here. Yeah. So yeah, Battle of the Gullet is what we just had. There is, I mean, how much are we going to get through? I mean, let's just see here. So let's say season 3, episode 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I mean, man, looking at all of the points, that would get us there. And some of those will obviously be combined. I don't know. Maybe next week's it is going to be the Battle of Honeywine and the Red Fork. Because that'll get us Jason Lannister, Alicia. Yeah, I mean, next week is next week might be a little more like Hightower, Kristen Cole. Yeah, might be a little more Aemon, Kristen Cole next week. I'm hoping the rest of the season is good to the Hightowers. Wild, wild to think of his family history in the show, the family history in the show versus Game of Thrones. Yeah. Which, if both of those things are next week, then that would line up for episode 3 being the big Rhaenyra episode, because that's kind of what the following bullet point is. So that would actually make a lot of sense. And then maybe we do finish the season with the Battle of the God's Eye. That would be shocking if that doesn't make it into season. If that, I feel like they might have to push that back. Just because of what obviously takes place there. Interesting. Okay. Well, like I said, this is kind of an initial reaction. Jamie and I will be back tomorrow to do our like full review. And I think going forward, the plan was to certainly do these with Jimmy and I every Sunday following the show, just kind of like more of a reaction review, that we can just do one thing. But like with Night of the Seven Kingdoms, we did two, but it came on later. But, you know, obviously in conclusion, I loved it. That's how I have it rated. I'll refresh here and see how more people have voted. 16 votes, 50% loved it, 31% liked it, 13 mixed undecided, 2% said they didn't do it. I'm curious to see how the public reacts to the show's resolution. Literally no one wins. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in a way it's really all for naught. Actually, when you get to the end, I mean, they are kind of just marry off the survivors, and I mean, really, the Starks have the big moment at the end, so that's going to be sick to watch, and that was sick to watch here. So, yeah, great episode. I have to rewatch it. I will rewatch it again tomorrow, because it's always just like an initial reaction for me, and I had to put the baby to bed because my wife's working. So I literally finished the episode, read like 2 Bluey books, and then put the baby down. And so I had like a weird kind of shift in like a huge epic Game of Thrones war. And then got like a couple Bluey and Clifford books in there, and then had to jump back into Game of Thrones mode. So very weird shift for me. But tomorrow it'll obviously be much better. So. With that, hope you guys have a great night. Hope you guys liked the episode, and Jimmy and I'll be back tomorrow with our full review. And as always, remember that winter is coming.